Hello, everyone, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving and that you have many, many things to be grateful for. We all do, even though we may not have the exact thing that's most concerning us. We all have concerns. And when we don't have, and when we have concerns without solutions, that seems to dominate our attention. But this is a good time of the year for us to remember the gratitude that we really, really need to be showing for that which we have and for that which God has provided. So I am grateful for you. I'm grateful that you're here. I'm so glad that I can be a conduit for the blessings of Christ that have every potential in this world to make life better for you in whatever way. It could be addressing a particular issue. It could just be making the whole of your life better in an expanded kind of way. And that's really, really where we should put our focus for a healthy, happy life, is to address every part of our life, one thing in sequence to another, checking it out, looking for little points to repair or enhance, little ways in which we can connect and share with others. And we're in a wonderful season for experiencing that now, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, however we view it, whether you view it in the most sacred way, restrained from all material considerations, or whether you just love Santa Claus and the Christmas parties and the gift-giving situation, whether you enjoy the end-of-year bonuses, whatever you may enjoy about the Christmas season, there's no question that this is the season, this is the time of year when our attention turns to sharing. Sharing with one another, sharing with God, our Creator, sharing spirit, hope, happiness, gifts, love, all the things that we have to share and to give. And I think it's really, I think it says a lot about our country. Even though the United States and other advanced, so-called advanced materialistic countries have gone in that direction, still, that this season starts with Thanksgiving. I think it says something about our foundation, the intentions of those who built this land as a land of freedom and opportunity, of achieving results on every level that can then be shared with others. And I just feel grateful to be here at this point in time, at this point in human history, making a difference. And I hope with all my heart that this call and all of our calls on the blessing service will have that effect for you. And while I'm talking about that, I do want to make a special announcement about our blessing seminar in January. It's now less than 2 months away, and it could be very, very easy to forget. And we have to confirm everything with the hotel 2 months, two weeks before the time of the seminar. So we don't have a large window left. And I really do want you to think about that. Not because you're expected in any way to be in public service offering this, but you will come to know other blessing givers more as friends. You will understand what you're receiving better, because giving and receiving are just the opposite sides of the same coin. Some people have said it's better to give than receive. I think it's better to do both and experience both giving and receiving in everything. You know, so often we work on giving because we know that we need to give in order to create a vacuum in our life through which we can receive. But then we really don't put our attention on our openness to receive. Receiving can be a challenge at times because we have our defense systems up. We have immune systems in our body that keep us from receiving. Sometimes we have allergic reactions even to new medicine or to new supplements or to food that could benefit us. Sometimes we have allergic reactions to new people that come into our life just because they're different. But it's the people that come into our life who are different that may actually have something to offer that we're missing. You see, receiving can be, it's something we need to view as an art form because we also can have prejudices and we think, well, we would never receive something good from a person who holds those beliefs. I can't not let myself know someone or be around someone that is an atheist, for example. It might contaminate my world. God might think I've lost my faith. But you never know what you might receive. You might receive an opportunity to enlighten another human being, to let someone in your world that you might serve, or that person might be able to help or serve you in a way that has absolutely nothing to do with your faith. We put barriers up on all kinds of things, and then we fail to look at the fact that we're not receiving. So I want to encourage you in this season of sharing that it works both ways. Work on your receiving and work on your gifting. If you don't have much money and you think, well, how can I give? How can I help? How can I serve? You can pray. You can include someone in your prayer. You can call someone. You can smile. Smiles are cheap. You can have goodwill. You can be friendly. When the cashier in the checkout line asks you how you're doing, don't just dismiss it as a routine comment that she or he makes and you just ignore it. Actually, look them in the eye and say, I'm really okay. You don't have to say I'm doing great. You don't have to lie. You could tell them the truth. You could tell them, well, it's a really bad day, but I'm coping. Now, how are you? You know what you've done when you do that? You've opened up a channel for human sharing. But just being honest. And that's what we need to do. These things don't cost anything. If you can't come to the blessing seminar, for example, you could tell somebody else about it. Maybe you could make an announcement at your church. You could tell a friend. Or you could say a prayer for us that everybody who should come will come. You see, that's how it works. And when you ask for something, ask freely and don't be embarrassed to ask. Ask for what you need, knowing that not everybody can answer your prayer in a material way. Maybe you need a better car. And you tell someone, they can't give you a car, but maybe their cousin has one for sale and it would be just the great car for you. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Don't hold yourself back. Ask if you need, give what you can. And let that be your experience of this season. Open, share. And anyone who wants to ask for a blessing, I'm looking over the board right now, and if you can't think of anything particular, maybe you know somebody who needs a very particular blessing. Or I'll just see your name there. I've got names for most of the people, not everybody, but a lot of you, just because you've called in a lot of times and our message board has picked up your name. Oh, hi, June. I see you're on and your line is open.
Hi, Glenda.
Yeah.
My name is June, and I'm calling you to ask a blessing for my cousin, Odette, who's had a slight heart attack, and she's a great believer in the divine and angels, and she's French-Canadian. She lives up in Quebec City. And
oh, very good. I've got her name written down.
Thank you.
That's Odette. All right. And we will certainly include her specifically in our blessing.
Yes, she's a widow, and I think this is a difficult season for her, but she's mostly a very cheerful woman. But I know she is going through a lot, and I'd love it if you could include her especially in your blessing.
We sure will. And how are you doing, June?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right.
Great.
I had a little miracle this week. I lost my cell phone somewhere when I was tired on the road, and a whole week went by, and I was just giving up. And then I just thought, I'll call my cell phone, because I called it two or three times, and someone answered.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I was found in the parking lot of a restaurant, and they didn't know where to reach me, and now I'm going to pick it up tomorrow, so I'm really happy.
Yeah. Well,
it's a miracle.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You communicated. You reached out. You asked.
Yes.
It's just like Yeshua said. He said, ask and you shall receive.
Yes.
Knock and the door will be opened. And do you know, everybody, I'm not saying this just to you, June, I'm saying to everybody, myself included, do you know how many times we don't ask? We simply don't ask. We don't think about it.
But I was so surprised. I was so totally astonished. I tried everything I could think of everywhere I went, put up posters, everything, and just before totally giving up, I called out of affection for the cell phone and all the pictures on it and all the people.
That is great. Okay, well,
answered.
Thank you for sharing, June.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I'm going to take a call from Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Glenda.
Your line is, hi.
Hi. So I have a friend named Denise, and I would like both a blessing for her little 2-year-old cat who got very ill, had to go to a yes, but so proud of her because she didn't have the extra money at all, but she made it happen. She borrowed and she did what she had to do because she has so much love for her kitten. And she's also a single mom, so I'm really proud of her and her decisions. And just praying for little Nix is his name, so that he just
Nix.
Well and becomes
okay. We've
okay.
got Nix on the list.
Thank you so much, dear.
Bye-bye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Okay. And Gina is on the line. Hi, Gina.
Hi, Glenda.
Yes.
Hi. I have a question. You were talking about giving and receiving, and you've talked about that many times. And it's interesting that you brought it up because I'm wondering – I'm usually a person, I give and give and give, and I feel as if, you know, learning from you and being on the calls, you know, being open to receiving. I guess, can you talk a little bit about what happens when I just don't receive, or I feel as if people take and take and take, you know, advantage of, you know, my kindness, my mom's kindness, or whoever it might be. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Okay, sure. I will. You know, it what that takes is faith in our vulnerability. And it goes back to usually some kind of hurt we had as a child. Because in our childhood, that's where our model of vulnerability exists. We were dependent upon everyone to give us whatever we needed, whether it was food, affection, protection, or assistance in any way. And we received. But we also hurt really badly if we either didn't receive or we received something that was negative, such as a scolding we didn't deserve or some kind of disappointment that broke our heart. And we built scar tissue up in these areas of vulnerability. And what I want everyone to do in this season, in your meditations, in your prayers, pray as a little child. Now, Yeshua taught us, he said to do that. He said to pray as a little child. And one of the reasons he said that is because in our childhood, we are most in the way of receiving. By the time we're about 7 years old, we've acquired selective defenses. Now, I want to talk about that just a little bit in terms of brain states, because that will help reinforce what I'm telling you. It's fairly common knowledge now that when we sleep, we all go through different states of consciousness, from alpha to delta, well, alpha, theta, delta, or theta, alpha, delta, as the case may be. And then we recycle back. Now, when we go through these stages, our openness to the universe and to perception increases, which is why as we train and develop our skills in meditation, we focus upon these brainwave states. Almost no one, except for the most advanced meditators, go into Delta and are still awake. Because Delta is where you go in your deepest sleep. Now, the reason I wanted to say that and reinforce that point for you is that the first 2 years of a child's life are spent in Delta, waking and sleeping, just Delta. Delta is the wide, if you compared it to a camera lens, it's the wide open exposure where it takes in everything, absolutely everything, and stores it subconsciously. It takes in parental arguments. It takes in discussions about, oh, no, the baby needs changing again. An innocent, loving parent not realizing that that's being taken in, thinking that the baby doesn't really understand. And maybe the baby at that time doesn't understand those words, but those words will be remembered later. And when we go into these states of vulnerability in our prayer and in our meditation, as deep as we can go, God will come in and cleanse that scar tissue. And that's a very, very important thing to do. That's actually what you do every night when you go into Delta. I know we've all spent those restless nights where we sort of sleep, and we may spend 8 hours sort of sleeping, but we're tired the next morning. And then we go into those nights when we say, oh, I slept like a baby. What are we talking about? Well, it meant we went into Delta a lot of times. Whenever we go into Delta, the brain scrubs itself out of all the debris it built up during the day. And it also allows the body to heal. And it's during those times that we most receive into the cells of our body the nourishment that we took in during the day. This is why it's advised that we eat our last meal at least 3 hours, if not 4 hours, before we sleep, so that the nourishment from our last meal will be available for the healing and energizing and repair of our bodies when it goes through these deeper states, especially into Delta. Now, if you compare these states of mind with states of faith, I would say that Alpha is kind of like affirmation. It's like getting an idea and saying, yes, I can do it. Yes, I can have this. Theta would be like believing, in the sense that you're lining up your expectation. And then Delta would be true faith, where you're willing to walk on thin ice and you know you will not fall through, because you know that God has an underpinning beneath your life. But so often we pull back and we won't walk on that thin ice, because there was a time in our life when we fell through into the cold water and we got a shock. We were startled and it cost us our faith. So it's faith we need to work on. And then we need to work on, what do we really believe? See, I'm coming back through these layers. Faith is your deepest, deepest level of trust. It's trust in the good law. It's trust that you are loved. It's trust in God. It's trust in yourself. It's trust in the power of love. And then believing, working back up. Let's look at beliefs. Well, now, we have a lot of beliefs, and they're not all good. You know, so often we say to each other, well, if you believe enough, if you just believe enough, well, I'm saying to you, yes, but what do you believe? You might believe, really and truly, that you can't do something. Now, if you have doubts about being able to do something, how is that going to affect your faith, which is the deeper level of trust? Okay? So we need to clean house in our beliefs. Take a look at whether you have any negative beliefs. And there's a good way to find out. There's a real easy little trick to that. Just say something as if you believe it. And if you get the slightest little degree of hesitancy, you know there's a counter belief in there somewhere. You could be saying, well, I believe, but something has to happen first. The minute you notice that there's a hesitancy, a little glitch, a little stop, what you need to look for is what is that counter belief. Now, it's okay to posit, to view. What I mean by positing is positioning on the horizon some factors of reality. It's okay to say, I'm going to plant this. See, I'll give you an example. I bought a little Norfolk pine, not for my main Christmas tree, but for an additional Christmas tree. I bought a little Norfolk pine. Oh, it's about 3 feet tall. And I thought, you know, I'm going to try to plant that outside because I've seen some of them successfully growing down here in zone, agricultural zone 9, which the sales tag on this says it can't go below 40 degrees temperature, that it just won't survive below 40 degrees. But I've seen some grow right out in the open to big, tall trees. And I thought, you know, I have this little sheltered space that's close to the front porch and backed up by a fence. And I just have a feeling that if I put a blanket over it on the coldest nights, and if I put it in good soil and water it, we can make this work. You see, I'm taking into consideration the fact that there may be some challenges, but it's not a counter belief. A counter belief would look like this. I'm gonna buy this, but I'll probably have to always keep it in the house because I don't think it's going to survive outside. See, that would be a counter belief. And maybe I wouldn't say that openly to myself, but I'd be thinking it. Sometimes it really helps to just take your counter beliefs out of your other pocket and look at them and get rid of them as counter beliefs, but look at them as realities that might be handled, that you might be able to do something about. Or maybe you could just get rid of them altogether because it was somebody else's counter belief. It might be something your mother believed or a friend believed or somebody else experienced as a problem. But it doesn't have to be a problem for you. See, this is the gray zone that actually hurts our deeper level of trust. Faith is our ultimate level of trust. And we have to be like a little child living in the delta brainwave at faith. Then we come up into belief. Now, let's come up to affirmations and just good thoughts. Okay? That would be our most casual approach for getting good things in our life. The most casual approach. Well, just like beliefs can have counter beliefs, affirmations can sometimes, not always, but they sometimes can exist on the idea that if I don't affirm this really strongly, I might not get it. I hope you see what I'm talking about. I hope you can capture that feeling. Affirmations are really good if they're truly pure and you say yes. Yes, yes. A person that I really, really love who taught me about affirmation was Tony Robbins. You probably all heard his name, and some of you have probably studied his audio seminars or maybe gone to a live seminar. He's extremely good on this subject because he helps you blow all the carbon out of the engine on your affirmations. You can't allow any reservation to be there. Otherwise, it'll be the same as a counter belief. And what it will do is it will reinforce your counter beliefs instead of your beliefs. So that's why to people who really don't know how to make affirmations, I don't recommend them. I really don't because most people don't get the clarity on them. I would rather tell you to pray. I really would. I would rather just tell you, pray and ask for you what you want in prayer. Because in prayer, you don't bring up counter affirmations. You don't ever say, but I know you can't do this, God. You see what I mean? So if you're well trained at affirmation, do them. But you got to be very careful. They're sneaky. Your mind is really, really clever about putting in the negative underpinnings to brace you up against failure. That's what it's doing. It's trying to protect you just in case something doesn't work. And unfortunately, that's how we undermine our ability to receive. And, let's look at it this way. How much more likely would you give something to a child than you would to an adult? It would be very hard to say no to a child about anything unless it was something that would hurt the child. It'd be very hard to say no. But it can be very easy to say no to your brother, your sister, or your neighbor when they borrowed your lawnmower too many times and didn't fill it up with gasoline. You see, we start becoming their judge and jury. And we start saying no. Pretty soon, our saying no to them causes us to start saying no to ourselves. And that is the really, really big catch-22. For affirmations, belief, and faith, and the three levels at which we attain the things we want, and the three levels on which we block the things we want, because we don't want to lose, we don't want to fail, we don't want anyone to say no to us, and so we don't ask. So my answer on all of these levels is pray. And right now, you're going to have an opportunity to receive a blessing from Christ. And let yourself be open like a little child. Remember yourself the day before Christmas when you just couldn't wait to tear into the packages that your parents had put under the tree. And you would sneak in there and watch them wrap presents after you were supposed to go to sleep on Christmas Eve night. So just think about that sense of anticipation, that sense of expectation, that sense of discovery and acceptance. You see, one of the biggest reasons we don't receive is we've lost our acceptance. And why do we lose our acceptance? Because we've made judgments. Judgments about others. Judgments about ourselves. Judgments about life. And even sometimes judgments about God. Well, he may love others, but he sure doesn't seem to love me. Oh, that's a bad one. Get rid of that one. Just be there like a little child. And be ready to receive. So for those who will be receiving, be seated. Have your arms and legs uncrossed. Be ready to allow the energy of the universe to pour through the top of your head, through your body into the earth, recycling and coming back through your body, circling around your heart to enliven your heart with even more faith, more belief, more trust, empowering your prayers. Be in your heart. Allow your attention to be there. And for the 3 minutes that this blessing will be flowing, just be in prayer. Be with God. Be one with that which you expect. One with that which you need. Or joined hand to hand with those for whom you pray.
You may not have asked for a blessing on the call, but you probably hold something dear in your heart or someone else dear in your heart. Bring them into your heart with you. Let them be there. And then as you go through through life the next week, go through life being in your heart. So I would ask the blessing givers to join me now and let us begin. I will say an invocation to Yeshua. Dear Lord of life and brother of humanity, we thank you for all that you've given us. And please help us have the courage, the simple surrender, the trust and the faith to receive your blessings, knowing that your blessing is doing its work, whether we see it or not. It's working through us and will come to us in ways that may be unexpected, and yet it shall come from people we might not expect, and yet it shall come from opportunities we might not expect, and yet the blessing shall come. For all of this, in advance, we give you thanks. We give you our undying love, our adoration, our praise. And we simply ask to be with you in your loving spirit always. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin.
Amen. Your blessing is now complete,
except that you need to go and receive. So I send you into your week, and you go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think about anything. Don't take this into your mind. Don't even keep on praying. Just be a blank slate on which God and the Holy Spirit and Yeshua can write. So bye-bye for now.